All right, that was fun. Well, we're in a series called How to Be Rich. And notice we're not talking about how to get rich, because we have all kinds of people telling us every day how to get rich. We're talking about how to be rich in a way that honors God. And if you remember, we learned in week one some good news and some bad news. Anybody remember what's the good news? We are rich. That is good news. Now, of course, people don't feel rich because, we usually consume everything we get. But when we look at our lives compared to the people around us in this world, we are very, very rich. I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I went to Haiti in December. An organization called Convoy of Hope paid for my trip so that it didn't cost the church anything. But one of the things I learned is that 70% of the people in Haiti live on less than $2 a day. Now, that shouldn't surprise us because we learned in week one of this series that over half of our world lives on less than $2 a day. That means that teenagers who work for $8 an hour babysitting kids make four times as much in 1 hour than half of this world does in a whole day. Every person in this room is very, very rich compared to the rest of our world. That's very good news. It's good news because we can enjoy the blessings that God has given us. And it's also good news because we have the resources to make a difference in our world. Many people around this world don't have the resources. We do. That's good news. You are rich. Now, we also talked about some very bad news. Did anybody remember what's the bad news? Yeah, the bad news is that we're rich. It's good news and it's bad news. It's bad news because it's one of the greatest spiritual challenges that you will ever have. Being rich is a huge spiritual hindrance because it can so easily take our focus off of God. Jesus said it's more difficult for rich people to get into heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. That is difficult. It's a huge spiritual challenge because it's so easy for us when we're rich to trust in our riches and not to trust in God. Now, the other bad news is this. Because we're rich, because God has given us more, he expects more from us. Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. So because we're rich, because everybody in this room has been given so much more compared to the rest of our world, that means that we have a significant responsibility that God expects a lot from us. And that could be very bad news if you're not using your resources to honor God. Now, I'm curious. When it comes to money and finances, how many of you would say, I really want to be below average? You know, I want to be like at the bottom end. When it comes to money and finances, I want to be below average financially. How many of you would say that? Okay. Nobody here would say that. Well, I'm sorry to say that I have some more bad news. And the additional bad news is that surveys show that because you are rich, the chances are very, very good that you are a below average giver. Research studies are very, very clear about this. The more people have, the smaller percentage of their income they tend to give. Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. But the less people have, the more of their income they're likely to give. It just doesn't make any sense, but for some reason, this is true, and it's proven time and time again in surveys. That means that if you're rich, the odds are you are a below-average giver. I did some research this week so I could give you some more specifics on it. I discovered the average American gives only 3.1% of his or her income to charities, which in itself is tragic when you consider that we're the richest country in the world and yet we give so little. The average American gives only 3.1%, but those who make less than $10,000 a year, so in other words, we're talking about below the poverty line, they give not 3.1%, but 5.2%. So they give more as a percentage base than rich people do. I have a friend who a couple months ago was homeless, no job, no money, came up to me one day, and he handed me $10. And he said, here, I feel like God is saying to put this in the offering. Now, I knew that was all the money he had. In fact, he told me that. He says, that's all I got left. But, you know, I feel like God wants me to give it away. And I was a little bit surprised because he was given like 100% of what he had that day or that week, you know. But this is actually pretty common, is that the less you have, the higher percentage of your income you give. It's amazing to think that many people that have much less than you and I give a higher percentage. It's kind of strange, isn't it? But the bad news is that many of us are below average giver. Now, the good news is you're not below average at everything, okay? Good news is many of you are above average at some very important things. For example, many of you are above average shoppers. Isn't that marvelous that you are really above average? You are really good at shopping. For some of you, you are so good at it. It's like a spiritual gift of shopping. You know, you can find the bargains. You can get the discounts. You can, find the sales. You get your 30% off coupon at Kohl's, and then you go to the 80% off clearance rack, and you say, man, I saved so much money. They almost, like, gave the clothes to me, you know. And it's, some of you say, look how much money I saved. In fact, you say, save so much that you can't afford to save anymore, you know, but that's a whole nother story. But a lot of us, we're really good shoppers. Now, and if there is something that we want, we will plan and we will scheme. We will find a way that we can get the best one at the lowest cost. We research it on the internet because we are good at it. In fact, some of you are such good shoppers that you not only spend all of your own money, but you actually spend some of the bank's money too. You know, you have to be an excellent shopper to spend not only all of your own money, but the bank's too. You know, isn't it great to know that you're above average at that? Now, hold on to that thought, because we're going to come back to it in a second. But first, let me ask, since God has made us rich, since many of us are in the top 1% of income in this world, and all of us in this room certainly are in the top 10%, why did he do it? Why did God make us rich? Well, I'm not going to give you the answer to that. I'm going to let God tell you straight from his word. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10 says this, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed." So in other words, God will increase your financial resources, but he does it for a reason. We're going to see the reason in just a second. You will be made, what? What does it say? Rich in every way, so that you can be, what? Generous on what occasions? On every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in what? It will result in thanksgiving to God. This is the first point on your outline. Number one, God made you rich so that you could be generous on every occasion, resulting in thanksgiving to God. That is why God made you rich. Now imagine that all of us rich people, all the people in this room, imagine that we became so generous that when people saw you, they would say, whoa, I thank God for you. You are so incredible. You're not like a lot of rich people I know who are arrogant and stuck up and you know, they think it's all about them, but you're not like that. You are so giving. I mean, you're enjoying the blessings of God, but you don't think it's all about you or all for you. Instead, you are generous on every occasion. You look for opportunities to bless other people, to bless God's kingdom, build his kingdom. And so I just want to say, thank God for you. Thank God for you. You are so generous. You are making a difference in this world. Imagine that people would say that about every person in this room. They would thank God for you. Well, that's the way God planned for it to work. There's a reason he has blessed us financially, and that's the reason he made you wealthy so that you could be generous on every occasion, resulting in thanksgiving to God. Now, the problem is that generosity does not come naturally to people. It has to be learned. You see, here's why rich people like you and me tend to give away a smaller percentage of our income than poor people. It's because we don't feel rich. In fact, we feel stretched financially, right? And for a good reason. You see, as our income goes up, so does our lifestyle. I started out after college as an ensign in the Navy. I was making $14,000 a year, and I felt rich. because my expenses were very low. I wasn't married, had no family to support, you know, and so I felt rich. 10 years after that, I was now working in corporate marketing for General Electric, and I made a whole lot more than $14,000 a year. But I felt more stretched financially then than I did when I was an ensign right out of college. You know, and it's because my lifestyle had gone way up and my expenses had gone way up. And I'm willing to bet that is exactly what has happened with you. You get a raise and you think, all right, now I can finally buy that new car. Or you get a bonus and you think, oh, we can go on that trip now. Or you get a tax refund, you think, oh, finally we can buy that bigger TV. And it's like you've already got the money spent before you even get the check, right? And we just automatically think that an increase means more for us. How do we break out of that trap of consuming everything we've got so that we can learn to be generous the way God wants us to be? Well, this is the second point in your outline. God's plan is that you become an intentional giver. Now, most people are not intentional givers. Most people are leftover givers. In other words, you give what's left over at the end of the month if you have any, right? But God's plan is not that we be leftover givers, but that we be intentional givers. God wants us to be intentional and prayerful about what we give. Now, let's go back to our shopping example for a second. We talked about how a lot of us are really skillful shoppers and we are above average at that. You might say that we are intentional shoppers. Intentional meaning that we intentionally plan how we can buy at low cost and we can finance it, we can get discounts, we get these Kroger shopping cards and credit cards that pay us points or you know money back, and we cut coupons, we find the sales, we search around on the internet to get the lowest price, and you know we're intentional about it. I've seen people who want to buy a house that's maybe a little more expensive than they can afford, but they plan and they scheme and they think, well, maybe if I can borrow the down payment from my grandparents, and you know if we can get the tax return for the rest of it, and we get a raise and you know negotiate some low raises or low interest rates, you know they're planning all around. Maybe then I can afford it. You see, we're intentional consumers. We plan and we scheme to get what we want, but it's very rare that you find an intentional giver, somebody who's really planning and scheming, how do I give more? You know, it's rare to hear somebody say, you know, if I just kept my life simple, and if maybe we didn't buy a new car and we didn't buy new clothes every 6 months, and you know, maybe, oh, this is so great, maybe we could give more. No, you don't hear that very much, do you? And yet the Bible says that's why God made you rich, so that you could be generous on every occasion. Now, how do we learn to honor God by being generous on every occasion? We need to learn how to be intentional givers. Look at what Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 9. It says, each of you should give what you have, what? Decided in your heart. What you've decided in your heart. That's talking about being an intentional giver. You decide in your heart in advance. You don't just wait until somebody asks, and if you feel guilty about it or something, then you give some money or whatever. No, you plan it out. You decide in advance in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So God wants us to decide in our hearts and become intentional about giving. We pray about it. We seek God. We ask Him, God, where can I make the biggest difference in my giving and you know how much and how can I manage my finances and what are you leading me to do? And we pray about it, we ask Him, and we're intentional about giving. That's why God made you rich, so you could do that, so you could be generous on every occasion. That is how to be rich in a way that honors God. Let's watch a video.
Well, this is where the rubber meets the road. You're paying the bills. In fact, what's in here tells more about your heart than just about anything else. Let's talk about it as intentional givers. Well, we're going to return to God what belongs to God. Scripture says this in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. a tithe. Now, what's a tithe? This is the Hebrew word ma'aser, and it means one-tenth. It means 10%. So 10% of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, it belongs to the Lord. A tithe, 10%, it belongs to the Lord. Scripture says it is holy to the Lord. So how do we give the ma'aser? How do we give the tithe? Well, the Bible says in Malachi 3:10 that we are to bring the whole tithe, bring the whole ma'aser into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Now, scholars agree that the storehouse is the local church, that we bring 10% of what God trusts to us to the church. We give 10% to the church so there may be spiritual food and spiritual nourishment in the church for God's people. Then we give offerings above the ma'aser, above the tithe, to other places. We're going to return to God what is God's. But let's be real, let's be honest. The more we have, the more difficult it is to give. As strange as that sounds, it's true. For example, let's say you make $10 in a year. Well, it's pretty easy to give $1 because you think, well, 10%, $1, what can I do with $1? No big deal. In fact, you might say, hey, here's two because, you know, what can you do with $2? But then let's say one year you make $10,000 and so you want to tithe off that. And all of a sudden you're going, oh my gosh, I'm going to write this $1,000 check, $1,000, I can do something with $1,000. And that check gets a little bit more difficult to write. Well, let's say though, you're faithful and God really blesses you. And one day your pile grows big, you got a big stack. And let's say you make $100,000 that year. And all of a sudden you're going 10% of $100,000, that's $10,000. Ain't no way I'm giving $10,000. Because as crazy as it sounds, the bigger your stack grows, the harder it is to give. It's not how to be rich, that's how to be selfish. And we're not going to be selfish. We're going to be intentional and return to God what belongs to God. Let's look at it this way. God will use the tithe in so many different ways in our lives. For example, a very important thing is this. God will use the tithe to teach us to put Him first. God will use the tithe to teach us to organize our life around Him. In fact, Scripture says this. The Bible says the purpose of the tithe is to teach us to put God first in our lives. The problem is, most people don't. For example, let's say you've got a pie. Well, you're gonna have to divvy up your pie into different places. Let's cut a piece of the pie, a big piece, and this will be your mortgage payment. Good news is, you got low interest. So you put a piece of the pie right here. Then you got your car payment, pretty good piece of the pie. Good news is, you look really good in your car. And then you've been shopping, and so you've got some credit card bills. Got that piece of the pie. And then you've got your kids and a lot of activities. Boy, they're expensive. Little boogers. Piano, soccer practice, and then you've got cable TV, and you've got something on yourself. And so before long, you've divvied up your pie into all these places on yourself. Wait a second, I forgot God. We've got to give something to God. And so we tend to give God our leftovers. That's not how to be rich. That's how to be selfish. What should we do though? The tithe teaches us to put God first in our lives, and what we want to do is this. We want to say the first fruit, the very beginning, it belongs to God. So, we're going to take our whole pie and we're going to cut out about 10% and say, you know what? Thank you for blessing me with this whole pie. This isn't mine. This is yours, God. This belongs to you. God, it's my honor to worship you with 10%. All of a sudden, this teaches me to prioritize my whole life around God. I'm worshiping God with a tithe, and I'm prioritizing and arranging my life around God. The tithe teaches you to put God first. It also, the tithe, increases my faith in God. By giving to Him first, He's actually building my faith and trust in Him. I honestly believe that 90% with the blessings of God goes further than 100% without the blessings of God. 90% with his blessings goes further than 100% without. Now here's the deal. It takes faith to give to God first. To give God 10%, it takes faith to give first. If we give what's left over, it doesn't take faith at all. In fact, that's how God gave to us. The Bible says while we were still sinners, he sent Jesus. God gave by faith even before we accepted the grace of his Son. The Bible teaches us to give by faith. In fact, scripture is very, very clear. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, here's what the Bible says. God says, I'm so sure of this, I want you to test me. You don't believe me? Put it to the test. Cut 10% out of your pie and give it to me, God says. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. That's how good God is. The tithe, it teaches us to trust God and prioritize our life around him. We will be intentional givers. We will intentionally return to God what's already God's. Time to eat some pie.
When I was in college, I decided to do that. I decided to test God and try tithing and see if it worked. I've never stopped since, and God has blessed my finances throughout my life. It is unbelievable the way he's provided. A lot of people have this misconception or misperception about God's view of giving. They think the more dollars you give, the happier God is. And that's not actually what Jesus says. According to Jesus, the issue God is concerned with is not how many dollars you give. He is concerned about the percentage. I'm going to show you in Scripture in just a second. But think about this. Do you think that the Creator of the whole universe, who made everything and owns everything, you think that he could be impressed by any size gift that anybody could give? No, I mean, he already owns it all. He can add 100 zeros to what you gave, and it won't even affect him. And so he's not impressed by how many zeros are on the end of the number or how large the gift is. But Jesus tells us that God is impressed by the percentage. Look at Mark 12:41. There's a story there about a time when Jesus was really impressed by somebody's generosity. Jesus is with his disciples in the temple. He wants to teach them what God thinks about giving. And so he gathers disciples around. He takes them over to this place in the temple where all the people are giving their gifts. It says in verse 41, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. So these rich people are dropping in gold coins, you know, worth lots of money, and they're making sure everybody can see how much they give, you know, and everybody's impressed by these large gifts. But Jesus was not impressed. In verse 42, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Now, in our money system, they might have been worth the same as nickels or something. Obviously, you cannot buy a whole lot with nickels, right? But it was all the poor widow had to give. And then Jesus makes this unbelievable statement, which ought to change the whole way that we look at giving in this world, because this is how God views giving and wealth. In verse 43, calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. So Jesus tells his disciples that in God's view, this widow put in more than all the others. She was richer toward God than all these rich people. The disciples say, but, you know, that can't be right. That you look at that guy, he put in $1,000. How could she have put in more? Jesus says, doesn't matter. God doesn't care about the number of dollars. He cares about the percentage. Jesus says her gift was more than all the others, meaning that it was a higher percent of what she had. The disciples said, well, how could that be true? You know, that guy over there, he put in $10,000. Jesus said, doesn't matter, her gift is more because it's a higher percentage of her wealth than all the others. God is not impressed by dollar figures. He is only impressed by percent. Some of you are going to get to heaven, and you're going to expect, well, God is going to be very impressed with me because, you know, look at all the big dollar figures I gave. And you're thinking, look at me, I gave more than them. And God is going to say, no, actually, you gave way less than them. In fact, you gave hardly anything because God is not impressed by dollar figures. He's only impressed by percentages. And Jesus said, truly, I tell you, this widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, a huge percentage. And the percentage is what God looks at. A lesson is this. If we want to follow God's teaching in this area, to be rich in good deeds and be generous and willing to share, if you want to obey his command to rich people, not to just be average givers, because he says, hey, you know, if you're rich, then you have a little more responsibility than just being average. He says, you know, he wants you to be rich in generosity. If we want to be above average generous, then to do that, that means that rich people should actually give a higher percentage than poor people give. Right? He's impressed by the poor widow who put in a big percentage, even though it was low dollars. Now, in a series of teachings like this, if there is no opportunity to apply it, then we're all just wasting our time. So this is your opportunity to apply. If you will take out this outline in your bulletin and look on the back, there's a couple lines that say, the first one says, I want to be intentional and generous in my giving to God. I will give blank percent. I believe I will be made rich in every way so that I can be generous on every occasion. This is your opportunity to apply what we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks. Now, you'll notice that this is for you to keep. You're not going to hand this in. Nobody will know what you put in that blank, if anything, except for God. Okay? You are not making a commitment to this church. You're making a commitment to God, because God is the one who commands you to be generous, and God is the one who can also bless your finances when you are generous to him. And as we saw in the video, God is the one who says in the book of Malachi, bring all the tithes, the whole tenth of your income, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Do you feel like God is pouring out blessings into your life right now? Well, God says, let me prove it to you. Try giving a tithe, see what happens, and just see if I don't pour out blessings on you. Now, if you've never tested God, you've never tried God in this area, then we put another blank here. It says, I will test God by tithing for 90 days. I believe he will, and quote, open the windows of heaven for me and pour me out a blessing, which is a quote, obviously, from Malachi. Okay? Now, if you've never done this, I encourage you, why not give it a try? Why not just test God, like he says, and see what he does? At the end of this time period, you could say, well, you know what? Didn't work for me. I don't think God really did bless me. He didn't bless my finance. I didn't get a raise or a bonus or more money or a better job. I don't think it's helping me to grow in faith. And it's not teaching me to put God first in my life. And it's just not working for me. And so I don't think it worked. If that happens, you can stop. At least then you'll know, right? Okay, God's word doesn't really work the way he says it will. You know, he doesn't really keep his promises. And you can stop, and at that point you can say, well, you know, the worst that happened is that I helped a bunch of people with my giving, right? But I am honestly not too worried about that happening, because we've done this before. And every time we do, I hear these unbelievable stories of God's provision and blessing on those who are willing to test God and do what he says. As you rearrange your life around God and put him first and honor him with your finances and your tithe, then what will happen is you will see God come through and prove himself faithful to you and bless you, not just financially, but in many areas. Now, maybe you've never given a percentage at all, and you say, well, you know, there is no way that I can start tithing, but I do want to try giving some percent. Well, you can mark that on there. Or maybe you've been tithing for a long time, but now you'd say, you know, I never truly realized how rich I was by these world standards. And see, I believe God is telling me to increase the percent. So who knows what God may be leading you to do this morning. Whatever it is, mark it down on your outline, but it's between you and God. You're not making a commitment to our church. You're making it to Him. We're going to close now, but let's just review our key statements. If you were here with us the last couple weeks, we've been adding to the statement each week. The first week we said, God has blessed us with more than we need. We're rich. The second week we added, but we will not trust in our riches, but in Him who richly provides. Let's add one more part this week. Because we have more, we will give more. Okay, you ready to say the thing out loud with me together so we'll remember it? Ready? God has blessed us with more than we need. We are rich. But we will not trust in our riches, but in Him who richly provides. Because we have more, we will give more. Let's stand for prayer. And I'd like the worship band to come up for a closing song. As they do, let's bow. God, we ask that You would help us this morning to loosen our grip on the things of this world. We ask that You'll help us to experience real blessings from You, God. Help us to chase after You and not after stuff. And help us to be rich in a way that brings pleasure to Your heart and to Your name. And we believe that as we do this, as we honor You with our time and our money, every part of our lives, we believe that You'll bless our lives more and more and make us more joyful than we ever were before. And so, God, we recognize the great responsibility that You've given us by trusting us with more wealth than most of the people in this world. And we also recognize, God, that because You've given us more, You expect more from us. And it's our honor to give our lives back to You, just as You gave Your Son, Jesus Christ, for us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.